Gunslinger Posse, and welcome to Branded for March 13th, 2024, live from Matangas Pizzeria in Schertz, Texas, for Camp Week. He's head coach Tom Manas, general manager of the San Antonio Gunslingers. I'm Ralph Judkins, running the plays and called along with you. Be a part of the team tonight by telling us in the chat where you are. Make a comment and ask us a question. Go on and like and subscribe while you're at it. All right, Coach, any words before we kick things off?
No.
All right, we'll be right back with the first quarter on Branded.
How does a site work company with nearly 50 years of success maintain growth and integrity? It's simple. We employ strong leaders and ensure that each project is executed with teamwork and dedication. At Chapman Brothers, we believe in fostering innovation while upholding our unwavering commitment to quality. Join us as a manager, estimator, or supervisor and become a driving force behind our legacy. Apply now to be part of a company that values both its history and the path ahead. Chapman Brothers. Where growth and integrity meet excellence.
Don't get left in the dark again. John Wayne has a full warehouse of standby generators ready for immediate installation. We'll keep the lights on, we'll keep your appliances running, even if you lose power. Call or text John Wayne today and don't pay anything until December 2024.
Spreester, Jimenez, Caskin, Ramirez.
Cars ramming into DPS troopers.
I do the behind the kitchen door.
Hear about the video of your DWI arrest.
Expect more at 10.
Get out of the night beat.
Night on the night beat.
The night beat. 2023 has been a landmark year for the Indoor Football League. Our 15th season saw tremendous growth, both on and off the field. Bold steps towards a bright future, cutting-edge fan engagement, and powerful new partnerships. And we're just getting started. There will be more in 2024. Calculated growth, strong franchises, and the best indoor football on the planet. The IFL.
And welcome back to Branded, live from Matangas Pizzeria. A heck of a week, Coach. In the can is tomorrow, players arrive. What is the news from Gunslinger Nation?
Well, we're formally opening Gunslinger Nation up to the fans this Saturday for the first practice at 9 a.m. And that'll go from about 9 a.m. to 11:30-ish, 12 o'clock, depending on how our work's going. We practice until we get done with what we need to get done. But I want to give everyone the address. Get ready for this, right? You guys have all been waiting to hear about
it. Get ready to write this down, folks.
So it's 9450 Northeast Interstate 410 Loop, okay? And that's in San Antonio. We got a picture of the outside of the building, the front of the building, and that's where basically you can go in and buy your tickets. You can buy merchandise. Just to kind of give you a virtual idea of what we're doing is when you pull in, you're going to see this building in front of you, the entryway. But to your left, you're going to see a full indoor-outdoor football field. And that's where we practice. And then behind all this is where we have our locker rooms, our weight rooms, our players' lounge, training facility, equipment room, all the good stuff that goes with it. We encourage the fans to come out. The way we're doing it this year, we feel it's a lot more comfortable. It's bring a lawn chair. Make yourself comfortable. If you're going to sit there for a couple hours, sure beats sitting on a steel or aluminum bleacher for two
Absolutely.
Hours, right? So we want you to come out. We want you to enjoy it. Good to meet the players afterwards for a few minutes. And just be respectful. You know, be respectful of their time while they're working and enjoy it because you're going to see some great stuff during practice. So
we've covered when the fans will come out and what times and wait. What about what to expect when they get there? Actually, what time do we want them actually showing up?
I said 9.
At 9 o'clock?
Yeah, 9 a.m. The practice officially starts at 9 a.m. and runs to, like I said, about 11:30, sometimes till 12, but typically it'll be an 11:30 finish. And essentially what you can expect is some really great football because you're going to see the drill work. You're going to see the things that the players go through. You're going to be able to watch how we warm up, how we compete in drills, how we do all those things, and then get to watch some scrimmage every day. So I think on Saturday we're probably doing close to 20 plays offense, 20 plays defense, and it should be fun. Now, a little thing you want to mark on your calendar is on the 20th, we're going to have a full officiating crew there. And so as part of that, we're going to run a controlled scrimmage of sorts, and it'll be a little elongated practice and all that good stuff. I did want to add one thing. Hey, if it's raining, don't come, okay? You know, I can post it as fast as I can, but I'm worried about getting my guys on the field, not necessarily posting it. But what I would suggest is if you see that it's raining, go ahead and just wait, and then if we know we're going to practice later in the day, we'll announce then. Maybe, you know, if we don't practice at 9 in the morning, maybe we'll practice at 1 in the afternoon. So,
And where should they look for that announcement?
If they do, on Facebook.
It'll be on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
It'll be on our Facebook page. So that's the general idea of what, you know. We just want to make sure that everybody who comes in really gets to enjoy everything that we have going on and, you know, has a safe, good time and is respectful of what we're trying to do. And just be supportive. Have fun.
I'm not sure, but I think this is the first time a professional team has had an open practice in San Antonio and probably in professional football.
No, they all do.
No, but I mean in San Antonio.
Oh, no. I don't think so. I know we didn't back in the day.
Right. Somebody might be able to tell me. And I have someone in the chat, Evelyn Moreno, asking for the address again, please.
Sure. It's 9450 Northeast Interstate 410 Loop. Right in San Antonio. It's right off the interstate, and you can see it.
410 I-10 intersection.
Yep. You know, it's very – at night it's beautiful, by the way, because that big sign you see there is all neon. And
look
it
for that.
Justice. Yeah. Well, 9 o'clock it's going to be light out, so just look for that in the
It'll
front
It'll look
of the
different.
Yeah, and then just, you know, follow the signs once you get there and, you know, where to park and do all that good stuff, so – yeah. Yeah,
9450 Northeast Interstate
410 Loop.
410.
Yep.
So that's the location, and that's the time, and that would be this Saturday coming up. And the more complete practice, the scrimmage with officials in place on the 20th.
And Saturday, I'm just giving you a heads up right now, we're not going to be in full pads. It's going to be the first day, so there's going to be a lot of teaching going on. And Sunday is the first contact practice. So if you're hungry for watching guys beat up on each other, come Sunday.
Would you say that this would benefit high school players to come out and see and college players to see that this is what the next level looks like?
Yeah.
And they can see the similarities between what they go through. What would you say would be the biggest difference between a professional and a high school practice since you've run both?
Yeah.
Big, too much to describe in the time allocated?
Yeah, we're assignment-driven football, and everything that we do is more precise and reactive. It's planned, and we're building muscle memory every day at practice. We joke about it, but as a coach, you know, we'll run a dive play on the first day of practice, and we'll run that same dive play on the last day of practice of the whole season. It's a lot more repetitive. It's a lot more physical, and that's, you know, typically how we handle it, you know. So, yep, that's it. What does that mean?
No, anything else this quarter? You ready to move on?
Well, yeah. Oh, I want to bring up
something. Oh, yeah.
So our sponsor, Matingas.
Let's go ahead and switch that over to you, Coach.
Has a brand new Gunslinger's Pizza, and here you go. So we have our Gunslinger's Pizza, and we're using this as a bib lately, so we'll see how it goes. Let's hear it for the box. Yeah, great. Yeah.
So the box made the cut.
The box got more applause than we did. Yes. No, that was a good thing. That was a good thing. Yeah, so, and what we're encouraging you to do is order one, post it online, you know, show your support that way. And I think, don't they get something for doing that too?
Yeah, the instructions are on the inside of the box.
There you go.
If you wanted to read them again.
Nope.
But, you like, comment, etc. Yeah.
It's a great promotion. It's a Gunslinger's uniform on there, and they really helped us out in doing that, and it was great. We really appreciate
that. Was
them.
Actually one of the first things that I heard about the sponsorship is they were actually going to be doing a custom box for us when Matangas got on board.
Yeah, I think we talked about that actually in the very first meeting we had with them up at the office. Yeah, so.
And it was their really idea. Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, oh, they have a great program.
They were doing it, you know, they do different boxes for different events, and, you know, their anniversary's coming up.
Right. They've got the 10-year anniversary box.
Right. So there's some cool stuff. But, you know, again, whether boxes or not, come, it's great pizza. I mean, I think it's the best in San Antonio. So absolutely.
I've never had anyone say anything less than it's great. It's not just good. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. It is great.
Yeah. You got to come here and find out, as many people have.
Yep. No, it's really good. It's really good, and Matt and Inga are great, great people. What are you pointing at?
Well, I was going to say we could quickly show the crowd that's assembled.
Yeah, filling up. Yeah,
it's filling up as people are coming in. I saw. Don's over here on the left side.
Don and Pam.
I don't know if you want to put him in the telestrator or not.
Yeah.
Did you want to telestrate him? Nah, of course not.
Oh, God.
I'm just trying to. Hey, and Zach Brown, we weren't even sure he was going to make it because he's down in Houston.
Well, I thought he was still driving. I hope you're not doing this and driving.
Well, he says he's checking in.
So. Okay, great.
Don't reply, Zach. Don't reply.
Yeah, not until you're parked.
Yeah.
We need you. Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for the first
quarter. Wrap it up for the first quarter, and we'll be back with more of Branded live from Matangas Pizzeria.
It was the box.
It was the box.
How does a site work company with nearly 50 years of success maintain growth and integrity? It's simple. We employ strong leaders and ensure that each project is executed with teamwork and dedication. At Chapman Brothers, we believe in fostering innovation while upholding our unwavering commitment to quality. Join us as a manager, estimator, or supervisor and become a driving force behind our legacy. Apply now to be part of a company that values both its history and the path ahead. Chapman Brothers, where growth and integrity meet excellence.
Don't get left in the dark again. John Wayne has a full warehouse of standby generators ready for immediate installation. We'll keep the lights on, we'll keep your appliances running, even if you lose power. Call or text John Wayne today and don't pay anything until December 2024.
Spreester, Jimenez, Caskey, Ramirez.
Cars ramming into DPS troopers.
I do the behind the kitchen door.
Hear about the video of your DWI arrest.
Expect more at 10.
Tonight on the Night Beat.
Night on the Night Beat.
The Night Beat. 2023 has been a landmark year for the Indoor Football League. Our 15th season saw tremendous growth, both on and off the field. Bold steps towards a bright future, cutting-edge fan engagement, and powerful new partnerships. And we're just getting started. There will be more in 2024. Calculated growth, strong franchises, and the best indoor football on the planet. The IFL.
And welcome back to Matangas Pizzeria as we get set to start our second quarter.
Yep.
And the players arrive tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yeah.
As we've mentioned.
We've said that, yes.
And what should they expect when they get here?
Well, tomorrow is just basically check in to their housing, which is our hotel, team hotel for camp, and meet your roommate. We got some forms for them to fill out. And then the only real event we have is we have a special welcome dinner at the Rackler Ranch for the team, which is impressive in itself. So I think that's going to be a great event. But that's it. And then on Friday, the 15th is when they'll come out to the facility, see the facility for the first time completed, get their equipment, get their physicals, get their health care forms filled out, do all those kinds of things, and and then pretty much have a quick meeting, team meeting, and then they have the rest of the day to themselves. Then the 16th, we start practice. So, yeah.
Do we want to describe what they should expect when they arrive at the facility?
Shock and awe. I think, you know, I'm a bit partial, but I've been doing this a long, long time. This will be something like my 50th camp player and coach, 50 plus, actually. And I will tell you that I've never been around a facility that has transformed the way this has, but not just transformed, it's so first class. That's the thing that just is totally astounding to me. You know, we could put in a sink, but we didn't put in a sink. Don put in granite countertops and the best of the best of everything. And we could put in showers. We didn't just put in showers. We put in football showers, big, you know, beautiful showers. And then Miss Pam came over today and
she decorated.
Yeah. And once she did that and her and Miss Stephanie doing it, they made the place beautiful. And it's just, I think they're going to be, anybody who's played in other cities is going to wonder why they played in other cities after this. So,
well, that was actually my next question, Coach, is why should a player choose to be a San Antonio Gunslinger? Why here? Why not somewhere else?
Well, I think the number one is our culture and our God family football culture, our character culture, and also our championship culture. Everybody that is involved in this organization has been a champion in one aspect or another, whether it be in business, football, family life, they've been champs. And so when you come here, you're getting the best version of the ownership, you're getting the best version of the coaches, and hopefully you're going to give us your best version as a player. And, you know, we've been cultivating this since September 1st. So now it's finally time to let the horse out of the stall and do his thing. So
by way of comparison, do you want to describe your experiences in camp? What was your experience like at the professional level at your very first camp?
Well, my first professional football camp was with the Lions. And we, back then, we were at Oakland University. And they put all the rookies on the sixth floor of a dorm with no air conditioning.
Or elevator?
No, it had an elevator. And there's a story that goes with that. But then the other part of it is all the vets stayed in the basement where it was 60 degrees and cool. So, I mean, there was I guarantee you it was probably 90 degrees in our rooms going there. So we had 3 days back then. So we'd have a morning practice, we'd have an afternoon practice, and then we would have a evening practice. And we did that for 6 weeks. And the competitiveness of everything was unbelievable, how rough it was. But the weird thing was, so once you make the team, you don't really know you made the team. It's not like someone comes up and says, hey, you made the team. It's just if you're still in your room, you kind of know you made the team. They have a guy called the Turk, and every team has a Turk, and we'll have a Turk. And the Turk is the guy who goes at 6 in the morning and knocks on your door and says, hey, coach wants to see you, bring your playbook. And you know you're done. So it was the last real practice we had before we broke camp. And we had played a couple preseason games. And I remember we were sleeping, me and my roommate. My roommate was a defensive end from Oregon. And we're sleeping, and the next thing I know, I'm drenched. I got a bucket poured on me with God knows what bodily fluids were in there, and we got hit with fire extinguishers and everything else, and it was the veterans saying welcome, right? Okay. So we're both sitting there looking like, I mean, we just got beat up, and they run out of the room.
Well, you're wet and flowered. Yeah. You look like you're ready to be fried.
And they're running down the hallway laughing, going to the next rookie's room. And my roommate, the genius that he was, Steve Bach was his name, he said, let's get him back. And, of course, me, being very coachable, I said, yeah. So we grabbed our garbage cans out of the room, went and filled them up, and then we didn't chase them. We went down in the basement to fill, like, pour buckets under their door, you know, water. So we're down there, we're pouring buckets of water down there. And we're laughing and laughing. And I come you know, and then we're getting ready. So I go run and get into the elevator.
Right.
And as soon as I come up, when the doors open, Monty Clark's standing there in his underwear, in his boxers, the head coach.
Right.
And he called me a bunch of names, and called me and Steve a bunch of names, told us to get in our room. Well, the next morning, we did not know what was going on. We did not know what was going on, but we sat there and we went, you know, holy cow, what's this about? You know, because everyone's ignoring us as we're walking in for breakfast. The coaches are giggling over there. Well, apparently, some rookie who was no longer with us took a fire hose and put it up on the sixth floor and turned it on in the stairwell. So there was Niagara Falls coming down the stairs. It ended up being like $70,000 worth of damage to the dorm. Well, all the rookies, we had to pay for it.
So
I remember that was my first experience of getting a fine that was in five figures. And I wasn't making that much.
Right.
So it really hurt. And, so I kind of swore I'd never haze anybody. I'd never do anything like that again. But, yeah. But opening an elevator door, thinking we're scot-free.
And the head coach is right there.
Oh, my God. Thank God he liked me, because it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse. No, but, camp is what you make of camp. I used to love camp. Opportunity to play football every day. Does it get tiresome? Yeah, it gets old. But we don't have a long camp. It's not like the old days where we go 6 weeks, preseason games, all that. We have 2 weeks of camp. And essentially, rookies have 1 week to make this team, because then the next week we got to prepare for San Diego.
Practice for San Diego.
So, that's how it works.
Well, San Diego was the lead-in graphic here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, before we go, Jim Renier has actually chimed in with a question following. What is your best memory as a player or coach of camp?
There's two. We had Billy Sims as our running back. And I saw Billy Sims do something I've never seen another human being do at practice. That's one of them. And it was during camp where he made a cut that, like, all three linebackers fell over and he went the other way. And I could still see that play in my head. And it was just a normal practice. That was probably one of the best ones. And I think the next one is when you I could say this unilaterally throughout my career, is when you find out you made first team coming out of camp, or you found out you made a team, or you found out that, you know, all the work you had put in, you know, pays off. I always use this analogy. You know, think of Usain Bolt, right? Here's a guy who trains for 4 years for 9 seconds. 4 years. Trains for 4 years for a 9 second run. We train for the however long camp is for a season. So we get to, you know, at least get some reward along the way. So when we start feeling sorry for ourselves, and we all do, legs get tired, they feel like you're carrying around lead bags and all that. It's just keep reminding yourself why you're doing what you're doing, so you can get through on the other side and really enjoy it and be with your brothers and have fun playing football again. So
those are the best memories, the two best memories as a player, as a coach?
Yeah, I think that Billy Sims move, and then just making the team, or finding out your first team, or in college, finding out you made the travel squad, or, you know, all those
the
little
next
momentum.
Level. Yeah, the next step.
Because I'll tell you, the hardest thing is, like, you're in high school, and you're all state, and you're all this, and everyone loves you, and all the girls like you, and you're the funny guy in class, and life's good. And all of a sudden you go to college and everybody's like that. So you're sitting in a locker room and I'm thinking, shit, man, I was all state. I was just, this guy's an All-American high school. This guy's an All-American. This guy's all state. This guy's all state. So now all of a sudden you're with all these great athletes in one room and you realize that, you know, you don't have a leg up. You don't have an edge. It's just going to be, can I outwork these guys? Can I do those things? And that leads us when we were going to talk about how do I get cut, you know, or how do I make a team? So we'll get into that in a minute.
Right.
But, yeah.
I did want to ask, because we've highlighted culture. You've highlighted culture in this example. The difference between the camp in the NFL, the culture of the Lions at that time and that place, compared to the culture that you are going to set up here that these players are going to experience starting Friday?
Well, I think, though, every coach initially starts out with our culture. And then you get real. Did I do a good enough job? My first thing is, when on the first day of camp, is did I do a good enough job recruiting? That's the first thing I think of when the team starts coming in. And then the next thing is, did I schedule and did I set up a good enough practice schedule? Did I bring in the right coaches? Did I bring in, you know, do I have the support of the ownership? Do I have the facility that's going to work for me? And you have to take all those things into consideration. You know, it's funny because guys will say, oh, head coach, all you are is a figurehead. Yeah, right, kiss my butt. Yeah, no, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with managing all these men and giving them. My biggest fear is I didn't give someone an opportunity to make the team. Now, if I didn't do that, that's the worst thing that can happen. If I did do that and they don't make the team, that's okay. But so I'm always very aware of how many reps the rookies are getting and how, you know, how much exposure they're getting. And I want to encourage them to compete, you know. And I want the veterans to know that they have to compete or they're going to get cut. It's the way it goes. Best men play. So no one's ever guaranteed a job in professional football. So, and the term I like to use is every day's an audition. You know, so if you come out and you think, I'll just have a bad day, and you only have 7 days to make the team, no, you only have six. And trust me, coaches remember those bad days. So, you know, you have to be the best version of yourself for all 7 days. Character, athleticism, coachability, athletic ability, and just pure grit. So, yeah.
So we mentioned San Diego, the first team we're playing. Are you, in addition to orchestrating camp, and when you see everything together, the coaches, the facility, the players, and you have that moment of, I realized my vision. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a moment where you get to that point and it's like, I've got to make some changes?
Oh, yeah. Every day. If you're not learning, you're dying, man. I mean, every day. So it's not just, you know, I don't just have a practice schedule and say, okay, let's watch film from practice today and da-da-da. I have to watch, are these guys getting their legs tired? Are they, am I doing too much? Am I not doing enough? We don't want to hurt guys, but did we do enough to ensure we know how to tackle? So you're constantly having to modify and correct. And that's why I go into the term of self-scouting. We have to self-scout every day. I always say when we're watching film, man, I'd kick our butt. We didn't look good today. Or, hey, you know what? That team can win a championship. And if you're real with yourself and you understand exactly, and if you're honest with yourself is the big thing, that, hey, we're not good enough here. I got to make a change. I got to bring in a new guy. Or I got to bring in a couple new guys to compete for this job. And or, hey, we're great. I don't want to change anything. I rarely say that because I'm really hard to please, you know, when it comes to practice. I don't think we can ever be perfect, but we can get perfect effort as long as the effort's there.
And so you're making an adjustment for the next day based on the previous day film. After
always.
Meetings are over, you're talking with the coaches,
yep.
Saying, okay, we saw this. This is what the plan is for tomorrow. Because you already have your plan worked out. Right. Then it's, okay, time to make adjustments from the plan.
Right. And that's the biggest thing is, I did this for years and years and years. I'll grab a coach and I'll say, okay, I want you to do a scouting report on us. How would you beat us? And they'll go sit in a room and watch three games of film and say, here's how to beat us. And they'll draw it up. And again, I think it's that important that you self-scout yourself. Now, do I put a lot of credit into scouting our opponents? Absolutely, tons. But at the end of the day, I want them to spend more time trying to beat us than we're trying to beat them. Because I think if we play our perfect game, that no one can beat us. So I'm striving for that, and I want to live rent-free in their head for a week where they think, oh, shit, we got to do this, 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 and this to beat these guys, you know.
So. And San Diego may very well be where that starts.
Well, San Diego's a huge game for us. The reason it's a huge game is we only play them once. So my fear as a head coach is if we go up there and we tank, what happens if that's the tiebreaker at the end of the year to get in the playoffs? Or what happens if that's the tiebreaker to go, you know, whether you're one or two in the playoffs, whether you're hosting or traveling? So the San Diego game is a huge game for us. It's a game that's going to require us to play perfect effort. And I don't want to say score fast and score often, but I'm going to let the leash off Coach Fuller, and we're going to go. We're going to go crazy. We're going to do everything we know how to do to put up numbers. And defensively, we're going to be a bunch of dogs. You know, that's our goal. So, you know, that's an important game. I know this team's been around, and I appreciate the history with this team. But make no mistake, this is the new culture. This is the new San Antonio Gunslinger. So I want our coming out to party to be pretty great.
So that's what you get to look forward to on April 1st.
Right.
And I want to mention one more time, because as people are turning in and tuning in and realizing we're talking about the new facility, the location.
Why don't you post it on the break? Get it all ready, and then you can just launch it.
Sure.
Can you do that?
Yeah, certainly could do that. We can reply in the comments so people could track back. But for now, it's 9450 Northeast Loop 410 in San Antonio. And that's, if you're looking for it in general on map, you're looking in the right area. If you're looking at the 410, I-10 intersection on the southeast part of town.
And we'll make sure we post it on Facebook now that things are rolling. So
now that it's out there, we've been dying to tell you folks for for more than a couple days. Ready to go on to the third?
Yep.
All right. We'll be back with more of Branded live from Matanga's Pizzeria in Schertz, Texas.
Hey, San Antonio, are you tired of the same old chain pizza that tastes like cardboard? I thought we were done eating paper in school. Maybe not. It's up to you. At Matanga's, we bring you flavors that are authentically Texan. We're talking about fresh dough that we made in store every single day. We're talking about cheese that's shredded in store for that authentic cheese flavor. We're talking about brisket, because this is Texas, y'all. We're talking about our Texas rolls. Can't get those anywhere else. We're talking about Texas ranch, because when you put jalapenos and ranch together and you dip it in with pizza, just drink it. Lastly, we got a pothole pizza, because we had to name a pizza after our roads. You know what I'm talking about. Can't wait to see you soon. Find a Matanga's near you.
It's like literally like hockey and football had a baby.
Type of action you'll never see in the NFL.
Gunslingers, let's go, baby! Woo!
That's the best entertainment there is. Once you've been to a game, you're gonna get
Welcome back to Matanga's Pizzeria. Ralph Judkins along with Coach Tom Manas as we get set to start the third quarter. We hinted at this question at the end of, or actually in the first quarter. So, Coach, let's go ahead and start out by asking that question and getting it answered. How does a player actually make the team?
Well, I say this on the first day, is that you make yourself so valuable that we can't cut you. So you do everything that you need to do and make yourself valuable in the sense of, you know, if you're a wide receiver, you can also hold for field goals and extra points. If you're a running back, you can also play wide receiver. If you're a strong safety, you can also play corner or, you know, any variation of those. But what you do is your value is what determines whether or not you make this football team. I always say that, you know, the eye in the sky when you film practice, right? If we don't see anything to give pause is the best way, just on your performance. If all you do is do your job and do your job well, it makes it extremely difficult to release you. You always try to find a way to keep the best players and do that. And I've cut some guys in the past that thought, you know, I was nuts for cutting them, and sure enough, they were dog crap wherever they went after that. But then I've also let some guys go that said, hey, I'm going to show you, and they go ahead and they just kill it, you know, with somebody else. So you can let – I think anybody who's ever played football at any, you know, professional level has been cut, right? And or traded and or something. So, again, making yourself valuable. Mine was I could play guard, I could play center, and I could play Mac linebacker in this league. And so when I was younger, that was my advantage. The biggest part was if I was a guard and I could play center, that's huge. Again, if you're a, you know, if you're a right tackle but you can play left tackle, that's huge. So all those different variations on things is what you really want to focus on, is how valuable is this guy? If we let him go, are we as good a football team then as we are now?
And I think it would be safe to say that that ability to do more is even more important in the indoor game, given the roster size,
right,
than in the outdoor game. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, well, and include the IFL. Okay, so the IFL has rules that most, well, leagues that I've been involved in longer than the 1 year I spent in the IFL are extremely difficult. The 7-veteran rule. You know, you're only allowed 7 players on your roster that are veterans. Veterans are classified as anyone who's played more than 3 years of indoor football at any level and or is older than 27 years old. Heck, if we didn't have that rule, you should see the roster I had. I mean, it'd be ridiculous. I mean, I've gotten calls from guys like, I can't take you. I'm at my 7. So we have, you know, that's one way of a differential in that. The other is 25 men versus 53. So, you know, we're allowed to have 25 men on our roster, 21 on the game day roster, and the other 4 are on practice squad. That's brutal. I mean, when you start doing the math, you know, we did it today in the coaches meeting. I said, okay, how many offensive linemen do we want to address? How many D linemen do we want? We got to count the kicker. You got to count the quarterback. Do we have a backup quarterback, or we go without one for this game? You know, all those things have to come into play. And when you do that, it gets tough. That's when coaching kicks in.
Well, you certainly have a lot of hard decisions to make. I guess the next question for me is, what about the easy decision? What is the fastest way to get cut off of the 2024 Gunslinger squad?
There's a couple ways. Obviously, one would be don't follow the rules that we have or the expectations that we have. And that could be anything from your social media post. That could mean, you know, anything from like using drugs, you know, smoking marijuana or being in public excessively liquored up. Those are easy ways. Talking ill to a server at one of our restaurants that we frequent. Those are non-negotiable. We'll just see you. Bye. You're gone. And I don't care who you are. But then there's the other ways. And the other ways is taking a practice off. The other is constantly being one of those guys that hangs out in the trainer's room. You know, he feels like, well, I'll make the team just, you know, playing the injured route. Then there's, you know, the guys that just aren't good enough yet and maybe need another year or two at a smaller league or, a less talented team where they can hone their skills a little bit better. You know, those are the probably easiest ways. Those guys stand out. Like, I don't know if I've told this story before, but it was a few years ago, and I was in my office at home, and I was watching film, and I know who the best player on the field was, and I'd watched this play, like, multiple times, and Susan had come in, and I said, hey, come on over here. I want you to look at something. Watch this play. Tell me who the best player on the field is. And she went, that guy. She knew right away. Why? Because those guys stand out, right? And that's the way you make a team. Now, the other thing is, I'll say, show me who the worst guy in the field is. And she'll go, that guy, because he just missed his block, right? Or that guy because he couldn't stay with the wide receiver. And so good things stand out, bad things stand out. And you want to be the guy doing his job where it doesn't apply to either of those. You're just grinding, boom, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing.
So it goes without saying, because you're able to make these determinations, that practice is filmed. Everything's filmed, obviously, with us because we're looking at, and we talked about not taking a playoff, and we talked about trying to stand out. What are the other reasons why you make a commitment to film, because film practice? Because not every team does.
It amazes me. We not only film, we film with two cameras, and we film drills. And we film, like if we're going to do a skelly drill, we're going to do an inside run period, we'll film that. When we do one-on-ones, we'll film that. When we're doing team offense, team defense, we'll film that. And then all that gets pretty much packaged up at the end of practice by quality control. And then we break it down with the team. I had a coach that used to film conditioning and then make the team watch it.
Conditioning.
Yep. Now you think about that. There's nowhere to hide. You're on camera. You got to give 100% effort.
I was going to say,
and if you
did he film stretching as well?
No, because stretching has nothing to do with conditioning. Conditioning had to do with grit. When you're dog ass tired and you got to do conditioning at the end of practice, were you at the front of the pack? Were you at the back? And then what he used to do is play it in the team meeting and slow mo it if you were the last guy. So he made a point of embarrassing
you. That's one time
you.
I would definitely not want to appear on film.
Right. And you don't, well, then what does it do? The very next day, everyone's running their butts off, right? So it did what it was supposed to do.
Any chance that practice might make a return?
No.
Okay.
No, not with the guys we have. I don't have to worry about that. The guys we have are high character guys that understand what they need to do to be a champion. And, you know, we're mission driven. So I'm not worried about them giving a full effort.
Well, speaking of, again, that you're not worried about them giving a full effort, what kind of effort does a coach have to give? What is camp like for a coach, for all of your coaches? I mean, how many camps did you say you'd experienced?
Over 50.
Yeah. So what is it that – what's that experience like?
I think, you know, when you transition from coach, well, here's the hardest thing, right? When you're a player, camp's physically tiring because, you know, there's a time frame. There's, you know, I've got to be on the field from 9 to 11:30, 12 o'clock. Then I got to be in meetings. Well, when you're a coach, you're there 3 hours before they get there. You're there 4 hours after they get back. You don't get to run. You have to stand, which is brutal, to just stand for 3-4 hours at a time and watch practice and, you know, coach them up and do all those things. So physically it's hard. And mentally, you know, it's exhausting because, you know, as of the start, this was the last weekend. The coaches had come in and it was the last weekend they were going to have now until August 17th. And I said to them, you guys got the weekend off. You got Saturday and Sunday off. Go do your grocery shopping, go do your dry cleaning, do anything you need to do because you're not going to have time. Because we go 7 days a week, and that's 7 days a week from now until the middle to late August, actually, because then we have to stay and wrap the whole season up, too.
And exit interviews.
Exit interviews, exit physicals, turn in equipment, do all that kind of stuff at the end. So it never stops. I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, and I try to be sympathetic to the coaches at times, and I'll say, you know, I've always done this. Hey, We just finished walkthrough. It's 12 o'clock. Go home. They kind of look at me like, what? We get to go home. And that's when they go get their haircuts and go play around to golf or do something. Because, you know, you don't want them to burn out. And then when they burn out, they quit being as good as they are. And we want to make sure that everyone has that. And I do that to the players, too. We'll do that for players, and we'll sit there and turn around and say, you know, you got Sunday and Monday off. See you Tuesday. You want to hear guys get happy. Yeah. And so that's part of it. So, yeah, I think you have to be – as a good leader, you have to understand. And the good thing about me being a former player was I get how they feel. You got some coaches that didn't play at a high level, and they really don't know how you feel at the end of a day or the end of a week. And I think I had that ability to do that. And I always use this line. I tell it to everybody when I start coaching them, I'll never ask you to do something I haven't done or I can't still do. So, you know, when I give you an assignment or we do conditioning, you know, you're not going to get any sympathy out of me because I could do that back in the day. And or this is what's required to be the next level, to be a champion. You got to remember, we're going to have so many people chasing us this year that we got to really – this is where the character of this football team is going to come out. So, yep.
That sounds like a good wrap-up for the third quarter. We'll return for the fourth in just a moment. You are watching Branded live from Matenga's Pizzeria in Schertz, Texas. We'll be back with the fourth.
Quality. Here at John Wayne, it's not just a word, it's our foundation. From the people we employ, to the service that's provided, to the equipment that we design and install, quality matters. For nearly 20 years, providing quality Texas comfort to the San Antonio area communities has been our highest priority. For quality you can count on, call John Wayne today.
Is a site work company with nearly 50 years of success, maintain growth and integrity. At Symbol, we employ strong leaders and ensure that each project is executed with teamwork and dedication. At Chapman Brothers, we believe in fostering innovation while upholding our unwavering commitment to quality. Join us as a manager, estimator, or supervisor and become a driving force behind our legacy. Apply now to be part of a company that values both its history and the path ahead. Chapman Brothers, where growth and integrity meet excellence.
Hi, this is head coach Tom Manas of the San Antonio Gunslingers. I'll tell you what, right now is the best time in the world to buy your season tickets. 2024 is going to be historic for $9, starting at $9 a month. How can you beat that? Can you believe it? $9. Don't make me come down there and send you off to the train station.
And welcome back to Matenga's Pizzeria in Schertz, Texas. As we start off our fourth quarter, I was kind of hoping I could get some people to get Weston Colt's phone number, phone to ring.
Oh, we're talking about our single game tickets go on sale tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. That's something else that's new.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. Here's the deal, guys. Okay, so we're going to have to go out there on Easter Sunday. We're going to get on a plane, and we're flying to San Diego. And the next day, we're playing on Monday, April 1st, and we are playing the San Diego Strike Force. Now, we couldn't get a flight out after the game on Monday, so we're not coming back until Tuesday, which means we only have Wednesday and Thursday to practice. A walkthrough on Friday, and then we have the NAS Wranglers at the Freeman. I can tell you this, that's almost brutally difficult to do. It's one of the toughest things to do is prepare in that short amount of time. So how do we counteract that? We sell out the Freeman. We sell out the Freeman and make it impossible for NAS to win there, okay? And that's by being there, screaming, yelling, carrying on, doing everything you need to do, and supporting your gunslingers. And I can tell you, these kids, this football team that you're going to have is special, and you need to be special and be there to watch it. So single game tickets go on sale tomorrow morning. So make sure that you're on the horn and you get loaded up, and we're looking for 8,000 people. That's what we want. So let's sell the place out.
Okay, City of San Antonio, you have your assignment. Help out our team when they return after a five-day turnaround from a game. Come into the Freeman Coliseum and feel that energy, because that schedule is brutal. I think the first two games are going to be very telling for how our season is going to go.
I wouldn't say how the season's going to go. I would say it is going to reaffirm what we've been saying all along. Like, didn't the coaches poll came up?
Right.
Because I get this email from the league and said, hey, rank the teams 1 to 16. Like, we haven't played a game yet. How are you going to rank them, right? So everyone ranks on history, right? So
there's nothing else to go on.
Right. But yet, we ended up being overall, I think, 8th.
Right.
Out of 16, but 3rd in the West.
In the West, yes.
Right. So they've already got us making the playoffs.
Well, the coaches have noticed the roster. The coaches have noticed the moves. Somebody's paying attention.
Yeah. I mean, hey, the team that won the championship last year, Bay Area, right? Bay City, Bay Area. They lost 5 games. They were 11-5. And Arizona made it to the playoffs. They were 11-5. They lost 5 games. I've never lost 5 games in a season. I don't plan on starting now.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, things happen, right? And they're, 11-5, won the championship. So I want you to put those things. That's why I'm saying the first two games don't define us. Nobody's ever won a championship in April.
Correct.
Nobody's ever won a championship in May or June. Championships are won in July and August, period. That's when they're won. The Baltimore Ravens won the Super Bowl with a losing record?
You can't tell early on.
But you don't have to be, and you don't have to be a better team to beat a team. You just have to be a better team for 2.5 hours. Right? So, and that's the thing that people don't seem to understand is, you have two teams playing. One team's really, really good. One team's okay. And the okay team beats the really good team. Okay, so then my question is, did they beat them, or did the really good team just let them beat them for lack of performance?
Could we say we had an example of that last year?
What's
with
that?
The Northern Arizona Wranglers defeating the Arizona Rattlers.
They always have tough times in the playoffs, though. I mean, they make the playoffs. So God bless them. I mean, they make the playoffs every year. I think it's 15 years in a row.
Legendary organization, legendary teams.
Yeah, and Coach Guy, he's a good football coach, right? But there's no way the Rattlers should have lost that game. There's no way. There's no way. But that's what I'm saying is sometimes it just takes to have a great performance on that Saturday or that Sunday or that Monday. It just got to be better than them for 2.5 hours, And you look at it, and it's funny because I've watched every game since September, and it's funny because, how does a really good team lose? Turnovers.
Right, and that was the case in that game.
Yeah, I think they had 4 or 5 turnovers. How are you going to win with 5 turnovers?
And despite that number of turnovers,
it was close.
It was very close. And at one point, the Rattlers had retaken the lead. It was late.
Yeah. Yep.
But they
left too much time on the clock.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the nuance of our game, is that I've told the story before with the Tampa Bay team. We were down 17 points and we ended up winning with like less than a minute, you know, because we had the Nets, kick it off the Nets, recover, touchdown, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, in our game, you can score very, very fast. So you want to leave as little amount of time on the clock. It's funny because when I was in the CFL with Toronto, we were playing a game, and it was one of those things where we had to have the clock run out, and we didn't. It worked out where they had the ball with like a minute left, and they were on like the 6-yard line going in. And I remember our defense coordinator in the headset, he said, "Tell your guys, let them score. Just let them score." And I'm like, "Really? You know, we're going to let them score." And sure as heck, what we did was the running back came and we kind of missed the tackle. And the running back, without thinking, went in and scored and left us like a minute and 10 on the clock. And we ended up winning the game. And it was funny because I've had that happen, and I've had it happen where we're on offense and the running back's going and our own guy tackles him and puts him down, like, so don't score yet. And everyone's on top of guarding him, you know, like, so it's all about clock management. It's just, it's, you know, you're never out of it in this league. So,
well, this is the show about camp. I don't want to end our fourth quarter and go to the meet and greet without asking a couple more questions about camp. At the end of that first week,
yeah,
you pretty much have an idea of who you're taking forward. We talked about the Turk. The Turk gives the news. The player shows up, book in hand, and says, "You wanted to see me, coach." How hard is it, or is it hard at all, to cut a professional football player?
It's very hard. It's the worst day of the year for me, because I have empathy for them. You know, these kids have started playing when they were 5, 6, 7 years old and have played their whole life, and you're basically telling them it's either over or not here, right? And so it's a hard thing to do. Now, some guys, you're glad to get out of the building. Like, whew, thank God I don't got to see him again, right? Because they make themselves problematic. But 99.9% of the kids are really good kids. So, again, what I do is if I have an inclination that specific player might not be with us come Sunday, I work diligently to try to see if I can trade them, work diligently to see if I can help them get on another team, have another coach look at them, do all that. And if I've exhausted all that, then that's a different conversation. Just say, hey, you know what, we'll keep you in mind. If we thought they were good enough to bring here, they're pretty good football players. It's just that they may not be as good as the guy in front of them, or it's a numbers thing. So, you know, and I lay that out to them. I'm very honest with the guys, and I tell them, you know, what it's going to be like. And but, yeah, it's a horrible day. It's a horrible day. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And, yeah, it sucks. Because you don't want to be that guy, but, you know, that's part of being a head coach. So,
yeah, that's got a least fun job. I don't think a lot of people have been in a position where they've had to fire someone and say they're not, but at least you're able to have a conversation about there's a future.
I'm not saying you're not good enough to keep playing. I'm just saying that you're not good enough to keep playing here. But that's a big difference because, you know, I use the analogy, you know, there's some teams that are here, and let's say you're here, and then let's say this is the next closest, and then there's dog poop down here, right, at the very bottom. I wouldn't send you to that just to so you have a job. I would rather say to you, work hard, keep conditioning, stay in touch, and we'll keep you on our board, and if we need you, we'll bring you in. And I've done that more often than not communicate with guys again. We had a player today that we're going to be putting on RTR, which is failure to report. But it's one of those deals where we're in agreement on him not coming in right now, but we'll bring him in after our bye week, after Bay Area. And when you do stuff like that, you got to, you know, again, we're playing chess, not checkers, right? So you figure we just played 9 games in a row. This could be fresh legs. This could help us in our playoff push and those kinds of things. So we're always looking to see what we can do. And I'm helping the kid out because he can take care of the business he needs to take care of right now at home. So you can't call it God, family, football, not honor God or family. Otherwise, you're just a hypocrite. So we have to make sure that we let them take care of what they need to take care of. And then we get some guys that just keep watching the roster after we sign them. Yeah, I think I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't want to compete against those guys, you know. So, and that's understandable too, you know. So, yeah.
Well, I guess I could summarize how to make the team and how to get cut from the team in one phrase. Be as advertised. If you have looked at a player, if you have seen their film and they have finished the vetting, because we're looking for character guys who are also good at football.
Right.
If you haven't somehow snow-jobbed this, if you haven't somehow shown yourself to be better than you are and somehow fooled you as well as your son, as well as all the other coaches, and you show up not as advertised, or you show up as advertised, that's pretty much your fate.
Well, and again, it's if you come in, regardless of who you are, and you think you have this team made, you're sorely mistaken, right? Because any individual player can get released at any given time if they don't live up to the standard of performance that not only we have, but what they've set for themselves. So you can't come in marketed as, you know, the best defensive lineman in the country and then come in and play average. Just not going to work.
Not as advertised.
Right. Yep. So we want to make sure that, you know, when we vetted them, we didn't just watch highlight reels. We watched college film. We watched pro film on them. We have a good indication who they are. I'm not worried about a not as advertised guy coming to camp as much as I'm concerned with entitlement. I hate that word. I hate when people are entitled, and I hate when players think they're entitled. Well, I was here, or I played, or I'm this, or I'm that. You know, it's just, I just don't like it.
It's not attractive.
No, it's not. No, it's not, for sure.
Okay, final segment or final question here before we wrap this one up.
Please.
One more time.
Yeah.
What do you expect in front of the audience here at Matangas, in front of the audience out on the internet?
So no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all. And everyone from the opposition to the commissioner, who I'm quite sure should be watching the show if
he
isn't
God,
already.
Stop.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you expect out of this year's team?
My expectation is to go undefeated and win the championship. Next question.
Well, that was the last question.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. And I think if anyone has a lesser expectation as the leader of a football team, they should get out of the business and, you know, do what they need to do. I love what Saban said. I told you this earlier. Nick Saban said, if you want to be liked by everybody, sell ice cream. Don't be a football coach. It's true, right? So you're going to say things that are going to tick people off. You're going to say things that – but listen, I'm not – and again – confidence, not arrogance, and I'm not betting on me. I'm betting on my guys to do what they're going to do. So that's it.
Well, before we close, I did have a comment that I wanted to highlight that just came in. David Garcia saying, more than that, I want everyone packing the Freeman Coliseum every game. David, if that happens, it's going to be a lot easier for us to meet the objectives and expectations of our head coach. Folks, go ahead. Get your tickets. We have single game. We still have season tickets. I really think you should get season tickets because the price doesn't go up.
I want you to think about something, right? So I try not to, but every once in a while you got to have a Big Mac okay? Or you got to have a Big Mac. And I pulled into McDonald's, and I, you know, didn't even think about it because I don't eat there a lot. And I said, give me a Big Mac meal with fries, whatever. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe I should get another drink or whatever it was or something. And it was like $18, like 15, 18 bucks, something like that. It was like ridiculous. And I said, I remember we used to buy a Big Mac meal for like $3.
Yep.
And I said,
I remember $5. Yeah, it wasn't like, that long ago.
I'm like, you got to be kidding me, right? And then, of course, you go to the grocery store and everything's up. Then you go to Starbucks and you get a latte for $9, right? I can get a season ticket for $9 a month. That's one latte less a month. Out of my 5 lattes a week, I can just, I'll have 4 and I'll get to go to a game.
And if you're willing to give up 2 in a month, you can bring somebody with you.
Right. So, I mean, that's the thing is this, you know, it just amazes me how we've made this affordable. But again, guys, I'm going to say this out loud. It's sustainability. If you want to have a professional football team here of this caliber, at this caliber, you need to support them. You need to be there. You know, all these people that come here every week and they got to buy a ticket and come. You know, all the people that watch us and listen to us, buy a ticket and come. And again, if you go to the first game and you really like it, you can still get a season ticket package. You can get a 6-game or a 7-game package. We'll customize anything for you. We just want to make sure that the arena's full. We make it hard for people to come there and compete against us and show your love and appreciation of these players who have left their families for 4.5-5 months. You become their families in their town that they're playing for. So show them some love. Yeah.
That seems like a good ending to the quarter. We'll be back with our conclusion. This is Branded live from Matenga's Pizzeria in Schertz, Texas.
Hey, San Antonio, are you tired of the same old chain pizza that tastes like cardboard? I thought we were done eating paper in school. Maybe not. It's up to you. At Matenga's, we bring you flavors that are authentically Texan. We're talking about fresh dough that we made in-store every single day. We're talking about cheese that's shredded in-store for that authentic cheese flavor. We're talking about brisket because this is Texas, y'all. We're talking about our Texas rolls. Can't get those anywhere else. We're talking about Texas ranch because when you put jalapenos and ranch together and you dip it in with pizza, just drink it. Lastly, we got a pothole pizza because we had to name a pizza after our roads. You know what I'm talking about. Can't wait to see you soon. Find a Matenga's near you.
For generations, the family recipes at Carrabba's Italian Grill have been bringing people together. From the sweet smell of our scratch-made sauce to our rich layers of lasagna, we believe food made with love leads to tables filled with laughter. Dine with us or order out at Carrabba's.com.
2023 has been a landmark year for the Indoor Football League. Our 15th season saw tremendous growth, both on and off the field. Bold steps towards a bright future, cutting-edge fan engagement, and powerful new partnerships. And we're just getting started. There will be more in 2024. Calculated growth, strong franchises, and the best indoor football on the planet. The IFL.
And welcome back to our meet and greet segment, Game Over Gunslingers Win. Let's go ahead and run through the roll call. Checking in tonight, Jay Washington, James Bernier, Charles Laverty, Hannah Bass, the Mission's Highlighter, Tina Myers Haddad, Evelyn Moreno, Holly Wood, Ronald Collier, Mark Yamaguchi, Zach Brown, Susan Manas, of course, XFL Mike on AFN, Tortilla Mantequilla, And let's see, David Garcia, Kyle Brian Bunce, Nancy Rackler-Colm, that's a name that our ticket man certainly knows. Let's see, Eamon Caldwell checked in. And that's our roll call for tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, someone did comment in late here about where they can watch the game from out of state.
On YouTube.
As well as the new Caffeine TV.
Oh, Caffeine
You'll be able
TV.
To watch both of those as well, either one, and they're all free. But if you're in San Antonio on April 6th, we expect you to show up at the Freeman Coliseum on
April
6th.
No, but if you're out of state, though, I get that. You know, I've got a new friend in North Dakota. Oh, by the way, I sent you your football. But when they watch, I tell you, that's the way I do it, is just put it on YouTube and you can watch multiple games and, you know, at your leisure. So.
Well, Ronald said he's in Tennessee.
Oh.
I guess he gets a pass.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you very much, Ronald, for watching us. I guess, he says he's there and he's watching his grandson.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
I know how that feels.
Absolutely, and we're going to have that moment in a bit. We ready to wrap this one up?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we just to kind of give people a heads up on in the future here, once the players get here tomorrow, we're going to always have players on the show. We're going to have special guests on the show. And I'm excited, so it's not just me and you anymore, and that we can have, you know, the team coming out and representing and getting a chance for the community to meet them. So, yeah, excited about that.
And this will wrap up our Camp Week show. Make sure you have liked, subscribe before you go. And that's your cue, Coach.
My cue. Okay. Miss Susan, I love you and I miss you. Eli, Liliana, and Mila, time to go to bed. Night. Love you.
This has been Branded for March 13th, 2024. And as always, keep your guns up. Good night, everybody.